Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
But moving on to the sermon, I want to take us to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. This scripture is such a treasure to me. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Anybody have a favorite scripture? Yeah, I've got a few. This is one of them. This is one of my favorite spiritual food. This is one of my favorite meal, and I'm going to share it with you guys this morning. And it reads this. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. I want to speak to you today on the title of Revival Starts With Us. Revival starts with us. And Pastor Corey Turner, our senior pastor of Pneuma Church, says this: when Jesus called you to follow him, you accepted his invitation to be part of God's house. But what type of vessel you become, whether it be honorable or dishonorable, is up to you. Wow. You see, all of us have the decision to choose what vessel we want to be in the house. In case you already didn't know, the vessel is us and the house is the church, the house of God. And in this letter that Paul writes to Timothy, God is inviting us to live a life of consecration. He's inviting us to live a life of integrity, purity, and honor. He's inviting us to live a life that is set apart, holy, and pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And yes, we just had a consecration season as a church a few weeks ago. But can I remind you, church, individually, when choosing a life of consecration, it's not an annual cake thing, it's a daily bread thing. Yeah, it's not seasonal, come on. It's a lifestyle. And so it's so important to be consecrated, because consecration positions us to be part of what God is doing. And so in other words, when we consecrate, God demonstrates. Yes. And God has an amazing plan and purpose for each and every single one of us. And one of the commands that God has given us as well is to advance God's kingdom. But it requires a vessel of honor. Simply put, if we want to be of honorable use, we must first be of honorable vessel. And so it starts with us. Revival starts with us. It starts with us choosing to be a vessel of honor. It starts with us accepting the invitation of cleansing oneself. And so one of the things we need to do in order for us to be of honorable use is to live a life of repentance. Is to live a life of repentance. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If all have sinned, then none of us are exempt from the call of repentance. If all have sinned, then all can repent. Without repentance, there is no revival. And scripture tells us in 2 Timothy, if anyone cleanses himself. In other words, if we want to be an honorable vessel from a place of dishonorable, our transformation requires our participation. We have an active role in our sanctification. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, is to work out your salvation. In other words, we need to understand what God has done in you And you need to partner with the Holy Spirit so He can work through you. If we want revival in our homes, workplace, if we want revival in our schools, if we want revivals in our families, it first starts with us living a life of repentance, choosing to be a vessel of honor and participating in the process. And so I want to ask you, what are some things that God is asking you to repent from? What are some things that God is asking you to cleanse yourself from anything that is dishonorable so you can be of honorable vessel? Yeah, wow. Is it a website? Is it that website that you shouldn't look at? Is it an addiction? Is it a certain relationship that you need to stay away from? Is it the love of money, the idol of money? Living a life of repentance should not be something we run away from, but it should be something that it should be our first response to God's rich mercy and His kindness. Romans 2:4 tells us that God's kindness is meant to lead us into repentance. And one of the ways that we can appreciate God's mercy and His love and His kindness and the need for repentance is to understand, not in a condemning way, but to understand that we were wretched. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. And we need to understand that if we just come humbly before the Lord, He will forgive us for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. And all that is required for repentance is simply to turn away from sinful activities, a departure from evil, and return to God. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." And 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 tells us, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," in other words, repent, "then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Church, can I encourage you, choose a life of repentance. Humble yourself before the Lord and accept His invitation to cleanse yourself from anything that is dishonorable, and watch what God will do in you and through you. Not only that, but a vessel of honor is a vessel that is set apart. Being a vessel of honor not only means to live a repentant life, but to live a holy life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16 says, "But as He called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" You see, being holy and consecrated is simply to live a life that is set apart. It is an unconditional surrender and devotion to God. In other words, it is a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1, 2 says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." In other words, living a life that is set apart is someone who lives by the word and not by the world. It requires us to be both intimate and obedient to God. It requires us to live a life that is God-fearing and God-pleasing, not man-fearing and man-pleasing. Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And I just want to quickly pray right now, Lord, to those who have the spirit of fear of man, we just break it off right now in Jesus' name. Those who are people pleasers, we just break it off in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but that thing is bondage. their chains. Too many people, I've seen too many people not live in the full potential that God has called them because they have a fear of man or because they please too many people. They don't know how to say no. They don't know the power of a no. Anyways, moving forward. And verse 22 and verse 23 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us to flee from youthful passions and have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, for they breed quarrels. But in the same scripture, a holy vessel, a set apart vessel, is someone who pursues righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. Those who are set apart set their minds on things that are eternal, while those of the world set their minds on things that are temporal.
Wow.
Reverend Dave Wilson Rogers says this: true holiness is not a reflected in behaviors such as church attendance or one stand in various political positions. Authentic holiness and righteousness is not measured by the amount of money one places in the offering plate or how many Bibles one can recite by memory. Legitimately, holiness and righteousness is not defined by the amount of time one spends in prayer or the amount of Christian music played throughout the day. No. These things matter. They are ultimately tools for holiness and righteousness. But true holiness is a life pleasing to God. On all levels, it is a life lived in service to those whom Jesus would refer as the least of these. It is a life devoted to, as James says, as caring from orphan and widows. It is a life focused on extending Christ's love across boundaries of race, class, nationality, language, and education. Righteousness and holiness ultimately calls us to trust completely in the holiness of God. It may be sometimes messy. It can take us areas where we're vulnerable, alone, and afraid. But that is the part of what it means to take up the cross and follow Jesus. His holiness becomes our holiness. If I can get the band to come out. And so why is it so important to cleanse ourselves? Why is it so important to live a life of repentance? Why is it so important to set ourselves apart as a vessel and live a life of holiness, live a life of consecration, live a life that is pleasing to God? Well, when we choose to be a vessel of honor, we are preparing ourselves for what God is prepared for us. When we choose to live a life of vessel of honor, we are preparing ourselves for what God has already prepared for us. And by doing so, we become useful to the master and ready for every good work. And ultimately, the work of the Lord is to advance God's kingdom. Matthew 28 verse 18, 20 says this: and Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission needs to be the great mission in our lives. We need to treat Jesus' last command our first priority. There needs to be a sense of urgency. Every single believer, if you call yourself a believer of Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are called to advance God's kingdom. And for those who are new to Pneuma Church, welcome to our Sunday service. But I want to let you know that our mission statement for Pneuma Church is to advance God's kingdom across cities and nations. That is our mission. Not only that, we are a church that is on mission. We're not a church that has a mission team, which means that only a select few can go out and evangelize. Only the grace can go out and preach the gospel. No, we are a church on a mission. The church is on mission, which means every single one of us here who call Pneuma Church home is called to advance God's kingdom. We are called to do the work of an evangelist. And every single believer has the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Simply put, your job description is revivalist. Your job title is revivalist. Your job description is to preach the gospel, cleanse lepers, heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. That is what you're called to do. In other words, you're called to bring revival where God has placed you. And you might be thinking, Levi, I'm not a pastor. I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, newsflash, you don't have to be a full-time minister for you to have a spiritual assignment. Each and every single one of us are called to advance God's kingdom. Oh, I'm telling you, church with Jesus wasn't just the gospel preached. Church with Jesus was the gospel demonstrated. It was demonstrated. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He cleansed the lepers. And we too have the authority and the power by the Holy Spirit to do the same. John 14 tells us this in verse 12 to 14. Says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Yes. If it aligns with God's word, yes. If it brings God's glory, yes. If it leads to salvation, yes. If it's all about God's advancing God's kingdom, yes. He will make it happen when you ask Him. You are called, but it starts with us. Revival starts with us. It starts with us choosing to be a vessel of honor. It starts with us coming before the Lord with a humble heart and saying, Lord, cleanse me. I cleanse myself and I set myself apart for you. And I know this message is short because I really believe that I want the Holy Spirit to move more than anything rather than just me. And I know God is speaking through me, but I really want us to take more time in ministry, if that's okay, church. And if that's you today, saying, Lord, I give you my heart today. Father, let there be revival in my home. Let there be revival in my marriage. Let there be revival in my family. Let there be revival in my friends. Let there be revival in the workplace. Let there be revival in my school. If that's you saying, Lord, I want you to use me. Father, I cleanse myself today and I set myself apart for you so I can be useful to the Master, ready for every good work. Father, send me, O God, to bring revival to where you place me, O Lord. If that's you today, can I encourage you? Can I invite you to come forward? Come now, if that's you. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to be used by God, if that's you making that declaration, come forward as the worship team leads us.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.